Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Deliberate. This is your Agile Product Owners podcast. My name is Corey Bryan, and this is episode number 48 for you, the product owners. Had a great fun with Jeff last time. Really enjoyed that episode. I think I listened to it myself a couple times, really because I just like how he answers questions. So hope you got some value out of that. Hope you picked up his book. Hope you've read it and consumed it and passed it on to another product owner to help them. Really looking forward to getting some feedback on that show, and actually been doing a lot of those mindfulness tips and things that we talked about there, because last few weeks for me have been, trying to see how we can get better in my role and in my company, and actually looking at and struggling with some things. So a lot of things we talk about are things that I'm dealing with. And that's part of the reason why I talk about it, because it is something that as a product owner, you don't have to do some of these things. It's helpful for me to get to talk about it. And hopefully it's helpful for you to listen to it and get some ideas, maybe some strategies to help you. So that's why I do what I do. And that's why you listen, and hopefully that works out well for you. A couple things I've been doing this week. I've been working with my team, my student team at NC State. We've been having some fun iterating on game design ideas. That's really cool. I like kind of coming up with ideas and then tossing them around. They've been really good at prototyping things and having a playable version of something in a short amount of time, like a week or so, and then we can iterate on it. And it works really well. I really like that back and forth, and that that here's an idea and here's that idea in a game or in software that we can look at it and see, and then give feedback on and think about, okay, now we have something to use. Let's actually see how that works out. So that's been real fun for me. A couple things I read this week. There was one article by Des Trainer, who again talks about product strategy, meaning saying no. And a couple of his ideas I really like there. A couple of them, I think he's got a 10 or so, but one of the ones I like is, but it'll only take a few minutes. Again, something you'll hear as a product owner a lot. I'm dealing with this myself right now. He really focuses it down to the scope of work should never be a reason to include a feature in a product. Just because it's small, or just because it's going to take a developer a short amount of time to do it, doesn't mean we should do it. Maybe it doesn't fit the vision or the goal of the product, and we shouldn't do it no matter how small it is. But this customer is about to quit is another one. And really, no customer can be more important than a good product. I like that attitude. I like that focus. Really, we don't want to be held hostage by a particular customer or blackmailed by a particular customer to implement their feature. The product should be bigger than that. So but we've got nothing else planned. We don't have any features planned. So the team's not doing anything. So they should just work on this. No, we know better than that. We know we should be paying off debt. We shouldn't be making it easier. We should be reducing the amount of code we have. We should be focusing up on getting better metrics or getting better information about our product, instead of just doing feature after feature after feature. So pay off debt if there's other things that you can do. Testing debt, technical debt, any kind of debt you have. If somebody says, but your customers have it or someone else will. Again, something else you'll hear, especially if you're in a competitive market, but one of the things he says is, maybe that feature that the competitor built is crap. Maybe nobody uses it. Just because somebody has something doesn't mean that you need to have that. And I like the idea here of the product that you're building has to stop somewhere. It can't do everything. He's got some good examples there. But I really like the idea of this is the focus, this is the vision for the product, and everything that's not that, we should say no to. So again, some other strategies, some other ideas he has there, something we talk about constantly, because it really does help establish that focus and establish what your product is supposed to be doing, and then we should be doing only that. Then there was an article I saw linked that I had not read, and this one was from a while back, in the early aughts, I think. It's from Gerald Weinberg, who I've read his book, General Systems Thinking. I really like systems thinking as an approach. Actually, one of the Agile for Humans podcasts gave me an idea for a book that's supposedly 30 years old, which I've ordered and haven't read yet on my Kindle, but it's called The Goal, talking about theory constraints and stuff like that. So Jerry Weinberg is a great source for systems thinking and how pieces fit together. So I really like his stuff. And he had an article that he wrote way back that caused me to rethink a couple emails this week. And it's an article on the lullaby language and words that we use that we shouldn't. So these words are all designed to discourage feedback, he says. And I wrote a few emails and went back after I read this article and changed some of those emails. At least I thought about them, because they are words that words have meaning. We do a lot of storytelling. We do a lot of very specific words in stories and talking with teams. So these are words that we should remove from our communications, pretty much. The first one is should. We should do this, or when you're talking about a requirement, the system should do this. Should means you probably won't. So take that line, and where it says should, write probably won't. So we should have this done by April 1st. We probably won't have this done by April 1st. So be more specific in your language. Be more, if you don't know, say you don't know, but words like should and these other ones are just there to discourage feedback. All or just mean you have a lot of trouble to do that. All we have to do is, I just need to. All that means you'll have a lot of trouble. Soon is a word. That's the one I used. Soon equals I don't know, but don't keep bothering me. When is that going to be finished? Soon. It is something that I probably say that one more than anything else. And it's something that I'm trying to get rid of, especially after reading this article. So getting rid of soon is something I'm going to be working on. One of my favorite companies, Blizzard, that's when they give release dates is soon, and they've actually got soon TM. So they pretty much cornered the market on soon. Another one is called very. Very, he says, Jerry says, is the sleeping pill to the lullaby. We'll have that very soon, which means I really don't know when this is going to be done, but take a break. Only equals that is, I didn't think much about what could go wrong. I only did this. I only had to change this. We only changed that one field. Again, they changed it or something changed and they didn't think about what could go wrong. And anything is the last lullaby word. Anything equals that is anything I thought was important. I didn't change anything, you'll hear sometimes. We didn't, we wrote that story to handle everything or anything that we thought was important. Again, be more specific, be more specific, measurable. Again, use the SMART acronyms or use any other kind of acronyms. But get rid of the lullaby language in your communication, especially in your written communication, and try to pay attention to when you say it and why you're saying that, and try to think of a better way to actually communicate that same idea with something specific.
No doubt that this magnificent vessel will give excellent value for the dollars she'll be earning.
All right, on this episode, I want to talk a little bit about prioritization. I was trying to pick one of the ideas from Jeff's book that really interested me and really kind of want to dig deeper into. Prioritization is something I've been doing a lot of, talking about a lot. So it's something I thought would be good here. Our friends over at the Metacast talked about their backlog in their latest episode, and I thought prioritizing backlogs is something that product owners do all the time. And maybe there's some ideas that we have, or some hints we can give you for helping with that. So why do we prioritize things? It's to be able to help focus. It really comes down to that. And really, I like the idea of having the most important thing that we need to get done and then the second most important thing, so a stack rank. So again, prioritization for me is a stacked rank list of items. Somehow, we've gotten to a stack rank. However we do that, and that's what we'll talk about today, but we've gotten to that list. We've gotten to that ranking. We don't have 100 highs or something like that. We have one high. I've been talking a lot about the fact that we could have a 1 and a 1.046 and then a 1.047. I don't care as long as one is in front of the other. Mathematically, however you want to rank these, there's one that's before the other. Something is the most important, something's second, something's third. Really hard to do, but really that's what we're trying to get to with a lot of these methods, is to be able to get to that stack rank with some of these items. There's a really good article on stress-free prioritization, or some steps to take in your prioritization. I really like the idea here. One of them is accept you can't do everything. So there is going to have to be a cut somewhere. There is things that you cannot do. Embrace the uncertainty and things that you know and things that you don't know. But that's okay. It's one of the things we talked about, again, last week with Jeff, is really embracing or understanding where you have your boundaries on knowledge and where you have your boundaries on what you can do. But that uncertainty principle is something really good. Pick an item and start working on it. Something I'm very much in favor of, something I've done with a lot of teams and trying to get a lot of teams to do still, is let's pick a story and start working on it. It may not be fully fed out. It may not be completely understood, but we know enough to get started. Sometimes we don't know enough to get started. But let's find one story we do, even if it's not the top priority, and start working on it. So the other thing that he talks about is having a set of items that you're going to be prioritizing. To be able to ask probing questions, incisive questions about those items, identify insights for those items in your set. Talk to the engineers and designers. Again, bring them in. Let them help you. They want to help you on some of these things. And then once you've got that first item started, start the next item and keep going. So again, just find a way to start working through your priorities is the best kind of advice there. I think he's giving is start on something, finish it, go to the next thing, and your priorities will start to kind of iron themselves out. And there's a great article that we're going to link to that has basically 20 different prioritization methods that you can use and look at. There's a couple there that I've used, and those are the ones I'm going to kind of start with. And then there's some that I'm interested in and some that I don't really care for. So we'll go through not all of them, but I'll go through a couple of them. The first one that I really like, and the one that's the most simple, is just the impact on the business goal. That's how we're going to prioritize things. We're going to have a business goal. We're going to state that. We're going to stand up in front of the room, in front of the teams and the stakeholders, and say, this is our goal. Let's prioritize this goal. So again, if it's anything that meets this goal, let's do it. If it's anything that doesn't meet this goal, then let's not do that. That's a very easy way to prioritize. Let's find out what the most important one of those are. That goes number one. And then we go down the list and we keep working on it until we're done with those items. So prioritizing things. And again, if you're doing that, you'll do that often. Every time you do a sprint or delivery, or every time you learn something, you'll say, we've got some new ideas that we want to put in our backlog. And we'll have to prioritize those because maybe those go next, and maybe they go in the next sprint, or maybe they go in a couple sprints down the road. So again, just very simple, very easy impact on business goal. And then the other thing that I like to do is try to have a value versus risk or value versus cost. Now, one of the things, let me stop here. I don't want to get too much into value. Value is a conversation I think that is worthy of a show on its own, for sure. But we're talking about prioritizing based on things that we can use to find whatever our value is. So when I say value here, there's going to be a lot more information on this topic that I want to do in a future show. It's kind of one is, you know, how do I actually try to explain this the right way? But we are saying there is some value in whatever we're doing. And do we value that versus risk or value that versus cost are two of those methods. And the main goal with that is to try to maximize the value delivery over time. So what's the most valuable thing we could be doing? However you want to define that, let's do that first, and then second, and then third. And then as we go down the sprints and as we go down the year, we look and see what we've delivered as far as value, as far as cost. There's a really good way to do scorecard and theme screening where you actually come up with some criteria. I'll tell you about the one that I really like from Steve Johnson. Who says he has a little formula that he uses in a table, and I've actually tried this out a couple times, and I really like it. It really gets to the point of trying to get the business to talk about what they would like to do, and it gives you that ratio that we can use to prioritize things. And Steve's formula is, what's the value to us? So each one of these things is kind of a Fibonacci sequence. You can do 1 through 5. You can do however you want to gauge this interest, but the different categories, the value to us. How valuable is this to us? If you're on a 1 to 5 scale, 5 is high, then again, is this story or this feature something that's high to us or low? The importance to our market. How important is this story feature to our market? Times the dissatisfaction with the current solution. I like that one. That's kind of a curveball there, but I like it, which is there something there that doesn't work at all? Is there something there that's working that we just want to add on to it? What is our dissatisfaction with the current solution? And then divide, so multiply all those numbers together and then divide by the effort to deliver. So that's basically your story. How big is that story? What's the size of that? And once you do that, then you can get a ratio. If you've got 25, 50, or 250 stories or thousands of stories, you can actually go through that pretty quick and have a pretty good list of these are the ratios we have, and these are the ranking of those ratios. And again, we go back to stack rank. One of them is most important, and one of them is second. And that gives you a talking list that you can go, this is what the numbers came out to. Does this match with what we actually want to do? Have that conversation, and then actually, that's how you prioritize things. So that's a really good one. And then a simple one, again, one of the things I do like about SAFE, you hear that? I like something about SAFE. Is the way to shortest job first. And this is a very simple calculation. The value or the cost of delay of doing something divided by the size or duration of that thing, that gives you way to shortest job first. You should deliver the highest value with the shortest cost first. Again, assuming that it should be done at all. It meets your goal. It meets your themes or what you're trying to achieve with your product. So way to shortest job first, I think, is a really good one. Steve Johnson's calculation that he uses, I think, is good because it gives a little bit more detail, requires a little bit more thought. And again, if you're working really well with your stakeholders or your business people or your customers, maybe that gives you a little more insight into the where their thoughts are. One that I tried recently, I actually tried it in December, and I actually tried it a couple times at my old job, was buy a feature. I think I mentioned this on either the show or on Twitter, we were doing a PI planning event, and I needed to find some way to communicate what our stakeholders valued. So I basically had a budget. It ironically turned out to be the same budget that our program actually was. I divided it across the 6 stakeholders that I had and had them kind of individually go through and put up 5 stickies on the walls. We had 13 different categories of investment, and we got to see where each of the stakeholders would spend their own money if they could. And it gave us some good ideas. It actually turned me into thinking that 2 things that I didn't think were important actually were. And it caused me to ask some more questions and caused me to look at that thing a little bit different. We prioritized a little bit differently because of that buy a feature game. A really good way to do that. Again, you can play it as a group. You can play it as individuals, but it really gets out some good conversations and some good information that you can use. It's pretty easy too. It's pretty fun. It's not pin the tail on the donkey or no whammies or anything else, but it is fun. Something I haven't, so I've done those a lot. That's usually how I prioritize. There's something that I read that I've been meaning to try, and I'm probably going to try it within the next 2-3 months on my main project that I'm working on, but is a Kano analysis. Something I've seen lots of times, this is where we have our must-bes, our attractive, our indifference, and our performance charts. So there's a kind of quadrant chart, and there's 2 curves, one in the bottom right, one in the upper left. There's a line going through the middle from the bottom left to the top right, and we kind of categorize features as, is this something that people are indifferent about? Is this an attractive? Highlighters, delighters, that type of thing. So not something I've done before, but something I've read a lot about. I need to read a little bit more and then try it out with a couple of features for my next planning increment that I want to do. Because that one really seems to help me establish some focus, some areas of focus. And again, a way to prioritize, let's make sure that we focus and prioritize these most important things. A couple ones that I've seen before, have talked about, I know enough about some of them to know that I don't like them. And I'll kind of tell you why. So the first one is Moscow. So we've heard the Moscow method, that's must, should, could, or won't. As far as these are features that are we must include, these are features we should include, won't, or could. To me, this the reason I don't like this is because this is another way to say this is high priority, this is medium priority, this is low priority. It feels the same to me because you end up with a ton of musts, a few shoulds, and then coulds and won'ts usually don't get anything there. That may be just my experience and my kind of bitterness about it, maybe. But I just don't like that method. It really feels too much like high, mediums, and lows. Then there's some financial ones. So there's lots of bigger calculations you can do other than Steve's and the what is shortest job first. You can do things like net present value, internal rate of return, or a discounted payback period where you actually get into some numbers and financial pieces. It is something that's going to be a future show is actually talking about budgeting and how to determine how much something costs in a sprint. But I think net present value, internal rate of return, I think you're getting into some accounting practices there that I really don't like as far as making decisions like that. I like economic decisions, but those seem to be a little bit too on the nose for money. And again, I've looked at them a couple of times. I haven't actually used them. Part of this is me speaking out in fear and saying I don't like that and maybe I should try it. But those are the three that kind of stood out to me in that list to say, yeah, I really don't like those. And then he follows up with some keys to prioritizations. Again, prioritize at that high level, set goals, measure, and adjust. Our objective, I really like this sentence, the objective is to constantly be aware if what we're doing is really adding value and working out as expected. That's how we prioritize. We have our goal, we measure our goal, we adjust to that goal, and that's how we work on prioritization. Don't do it alone. We do it with a team, do it with stakeholders. We do deal with qualitative versus quantitative data and information, and then do your prioritization with external folks and internal folks. Again, talk to your customers, talk to your stakeholders, talk to your team, get them to help you prioritize some of these things. Now, we did have a tip from Andy, one of our listeners, who says that he likes to prioritize based on handling high importance items versus sufficiently developed for a team to execute. That is definitely true, Andy. It's one of the things I'm working with one of my teams and stakeholders and product owners on now is here's a list of 10 things. Let's say it's 10 things that we're prioritizing. The number one priority thing, we can't start on it yet because it's not ready. And that's a difficult conversation to have. So number two in the priority list is actually ready. Number one's not ready because we have open questions. We don't have all the information we need. We don't know enough to get started. Could we start? Yes. Are we going to be successful if we start that now? Probably not. So it doesn't meet our definition ready. It doesn't have enough information for the team to successfully develop that item. So we would choose not to do it first. It is priority one, but it's not ready. So we pick the next highest priority that is ready. So good tip, Andy, and something that I always try to do as well. So again, we'll put links to these articles that are really, really good and other information around prioritization techniques, ways to do it, new ideas around prioritization. Maybe you find something in there that you like. Maybe you find something in there that you've never seen before, you want to try out. Give it a try. Let me know what you think. I'm happy to hear any successes you have with your prioritization or any other ideas that you use for prioritizing your stories. So if you have any feedback or questions about product ownership, you can contact the show on Twitter at DeliberateCast. You can email us at DeliberateCast@gmail.com. And if you enjoy the show, you can share it with a friend, tell them why you love it. And while you're at it, you can leave us a rating and review. Still looking for that co-host, and you can win a book from Bob if you submit a question. We had two questions this week. So let's start with Kim's first. She says, I have a question about invest. The T equals testable. Does that count unit tests? What if it were just unit tests? So essentially the stories are dependent on the other stories. The PO will not be able to accept the first three until the fourth one is done. There goes the I. Absolutely, there goes the I. Testable, should it include unit tests? Does it have to include unit tests? I think the answer is yes. Unit tests are something, again, the developers should be writing. to be able to test different areas of their code to make sure it's there. The testable and invest and how it relates to the story, I think, does more relate to, can I verify that this story is done? How am I going to verify that this story is done? How can I actually demonstrate that and show that to somebody else? So testable is the key there. I think it does include unit tests. I think it includes automation tests, manual tests. I think it is testable. Can I test the story? If you can't test the story, then what are you actually building? If you're building something that you can't verify, then what did you actually do? And how do you know that works? That's what the test is there for. So yes, I would say it does include unit tests. And yes, if there is a dependence that you have on the first three stories that the fourth can't be done until those three are done, then that's either a prioritization call or it's something you need to refactor and rewrite those stories so that it's not dependent. You can mock it out. You can do different things. But you should always be able to test each and every story. I've yet to see a story where I could not test it. So yeah, hope that helps, Kim. And I did tell her that, and we did talk about it. So curious as anybody else's feedback on testing. And then Roman in Russia says, also, I want to hear your opinion about another topic. When you talked about velocity and story points, you mentioned that we measure task complexity in them. However, I found this blog post of Mike Cohen's where he says that story points are about effort, not complexity, and that they should be linked to time. Honestly saying, I felt confused after I read this post. What do you think about that? I think about that. So let's see. I like Mike Cohen. I actually got my CSPO from him in Dallas. I was very insistent that when I wanted to get my certification, I went to Mike because I thought he was the best person that was giving that. So I wanted to learn from the best. I think the article that you linked to is one that I have read before. And it is also something that I think times have changed on. I think his original view, and I think a lot of people's original view on story points have changed over the last couple of years, and they've actually moved toward having story points be based on time. So where that's about effort, not complexity, his article says point-based estimation is about the time the work will take. It's about it's what our clients, bosses, customers, and stakeholders care about. I agree with half that statement. So this is where I disagree. I have a different opinion on this. That's why you'll hear me use the word size of the story. Let's size this story. How big is this story? So to stay away from the complexity versus hour argument, I do use size. Yes, I know people want to know how long it's going to take to get something done. That's something we can talk about in terms of sprints. I like talking about that to say this will be done by the end of the sprint, not this will be done in, this is a 2-point story, so this is 16 hours worth of work. I dislike that immensely. I'm not there yet. I know a lot of people are, including Mike. That's one of the things I don't like about SAFe is they prescribe a story point equals 1 day. At that, when you're just, to me, if you're just conflating, if you're just saying that a story point equals 1 8-hour day of work, then why do you need to bother with story points anyway? Just say it takes an hour of work or a day of work or 8 hours of work. But why have a story point at all if it's not something other than time? It's just confusing. And I think it's been, like I said, I think it's changed over the years. It's not something I like. I do like having a separate measure for that. I do like estimating tasks in hours because I think those are small enough that you can do that. But I think when you're talking about what are your boss's, clients, customers expecting, I talk in terms of sprints. I don't talk in terms of story points, even with them. I just say it's a big story. It's a small story. It's a complex story. It's a, you know, it's a scary story, whatever it is. But I don't like to talk points with them because then it becomes math, like I've said before. And really, if that math becomes hours, then they really have fun with it because that's what they want to do traditionally is they want to take that Gantt chart and figure out how they can make one person do 3 different projects because this only takes 3 hours and that takes 4 and you can switch over here. So I don't like it. I know he does. I know I'm beating this point up, but I just really am not on the train of hours equals story points. I'd rather go to no estimates route than do that right now. My mind could be changed in the future. Mike could inspire me or other people could show me the error of my ways, but I'm just not there yet. So hours are hours, sizing is sizing, and we do that at multiple levels at the stories and the epics. So pick which one makes more sense for you. But again, that's my opinion. So I hope that helps, Roman. I don't think I cleared anything up for you other than to say that, yes, there is a difference of opinion that people have with those things. But pick the one that works in your context. If something's working for you, if hours are working for you, then keep talking about things in hours. If complexity works for you as far as story points, then keep doing that. Keep doing what works. All right. And with that, I think we're going to wrap up. So all opinions that have been expressed here are mine. You can find more of them on Twitter at @IsCoreyBryan. That's where I'm at. And that is episode number 48, Delivered. Go out and own your outcome. This show is part of the Agile Podcast Network. For more shows and information, visit agilepodcastnetwork.com.